So having understood the basic concepts, now let us move towards the principles of insurance. When we talk about principles of insurance, it involves two main elements. One is the general contract and the special contract. The general contract we have also already seen in the form of offer and acceptance, consideration, lawful object, etc. But now we are going to understand the special contract relating to insurance, and this special contract involves principles. And what are these principles? We are going to learn 7 principles which can be considered as special contract of insurance principles. The first one is insurable interest. Second is utmost good faith. Third is indemnity. Fourth is subrogation. Fifth is warranties. Sixth is proximate cause. And seventh is contribution. Let us understand each one of them with examples. What is an insurable interest? Insurable interest refers to the right of the insured to insure an asset. He should have a right means he cannot buy an insurance for any asset. The right can be on two bases. The first basis is by law, the second basis by blood relation and possession of the asset. The insurable interest prevents anyone from using the insurance concept as a tool for gambling or speculation. You just cannot buy an insurance policy in the name of a beggar because you don't have any insurable interest. However, you can buy an insurance policy in the name of any of your family members because you have a blood relationship. Likewise, when we talk about law, an employer can buy an insurance in the name of an employee. Here comes the basis of an employer-employee relationship. So, insurable interest is very important principle to decide whether the person has a right to buy an insurance or not. An insurer will have an insurable interest in the asset if he gets some gain or benefit from the insured asset. At the same time, since he is getting some gain, if there is a damage, he will be suffering the loss. And that is how the insurable interest is established. Just as a person is presumed to have an insurable interest in his own life, a wife has an insurable interest in the life of the husband because of a simple blood relationship established into this transaction. Similarly, a child has an insurable interest in the life of a parent, and a parent has an insurable interest in the child. Insurable interest can arise out of legal relationship, such as lease, mortgage, tenancy, trusteeship, creditorship, etc. For example, debtor and a creditor. A creditor has an insurable interest in the life of a debtor because the creditor has lent money to the debtor, and if at all anything happens to the debtor, there should be someone who will make good the loss. Mortgagee and mortgager. A mortgagee finances money to the mortgager, and hence a mortgagee can insure the life of his mortgager. Principal and agent. Principal can insure life of his agent because of agent, the principal may suffer a loss. Bailee is entitled to insure full value of goods in his possession because finally he would be responsible for taking care of the property which the bailer has kept in possession of the bailee. So these are wonderful examples of insurable interests which are created on the basis of law or contractual relationship. Some more examples. We can have insurable interest based on contractual relationship. A lessor can insure for the full value of property in possession of the lessee. A surety has insurable interest in the principal debtor and co-surety. An employee has insurable interest in the employer. Employers have insurable interest in employees, and partners also have insurable interest in the lives of each other. Now let us see a second principle. When we talk about this, these are all special contractual relationship, utmost good faith. This is the very important concept because when it is utmost good faith, it poses a duty on the prospect to disclose all facts, whether they are material or not. If an insurance company asks for him to disclose information, he should not feel that this information may be important, this is not important. Whatever the insurance company asks, it becomes the voluntary duty of the prospect to disclose all information that is asked by the insurance company. When we talk about utmost good faith, it comes from the Latin word which is called oberemi fidei. Oberemi fidei means utmost good faith. It puts the onus on the insured to disclose all material facts related with the asset. These facts are to be disclosed without being specifically requested by the insurance company, because these are voluntary disclosures. These facts can be connected with the risk, and then you leave it to the insurance company to decide whether those facts are relevant for ascertaining the risk or not. The point is, disclose everything, whether at a request or no request, because unnecessarily you will create a chance of your claim getting rejected if later the insurance company finds that you have not disclosed certain information. Omission of any disclosure, concealment of any disclosure, fraudulent misrepresentation of statements made with the intention of deceiving the insurer, howsoever innocent it may be. Innocent misrepresentation and inaccurate statements can also be considered as breach of duty of utmost good faith. And if there is a breach of duty of utmost good faith, insurer can reject your claim. Likewise, insurer is also required to disclose all facts relating to the insurance to the insured. So both ways, it is fair game. Utmost good faith, disclose all information from the insured point of view, all information related to him. From the insurance company point of view, all information related to the insurance. Now let us understand the third important principle of insurance, indemnity. Every contract of insurance except life insurance is a contract of indemnity. We are going to understand why life insurance contract is more specifically a contract of assurance and cannot be considered as a contract of indemnity. Life insurance is considered a contract of insurance assurance because human life is not accessible in terms of money. Indian Contract Act 1872 defines indemnity as a contract by which one party promises to save the other from loss caused to him by the conduct of the promisor himself or by the conduct of another person. So let us see more about this indemnity principle. In case of non-life insurance, indemnity is more applicable specifically. Indemnity can be defined as a financial compensation provided by the insurer to the insured to place the insured in the same financial position after a loss as the insured enjoyed immediately before the loss occurred under the terms. In case of non-life insurance, since it is not a life asset, it can be easily ascertained about the economic value because you have clear-cut invoices to fix the loss that can happen because of damage or loss of that asset. The fourth important principle of insurance is subrogation. The doctrine of subrogation refers to the right of the insurer to stand in the place of the insured after the settlement of a claim. Here, the insurance company will make good the loss. However, the insurance company steps into the shoes of the insured to claim the loss from someone who has caused the loss. The effect of subrogation is that the insured does not receive more money than the actual amount of his loss. As loss gets compensated immediately so that the insured can carry on his activity, at the same time, he again cannot go and claim it from the person who has caused the loss. That right would be the insured. So whatever loss that has been compensated, insured will try to recover it, but in no way the insured can get more than what the loss has happened. The recovery effected from the third party is received by the insurer to reduce the amount of loss. For example, a private car may be damaged in collision due to rush and negligent driving of the truck. The private car owner can be compensated for the loss by the insurer, so he can get it repaired and go his normal way. However, in turn, the private car owner right of recovery will be transferred to the insurer, and who can claim the loss separately from the person who has caused the damage. Now let us understand the next important principle, warranties. The term warranty has been defined in Sale of Goods Act 1930 as a stipulation collateral to the main purpose of the contract. And if this stipulation or condition is not followed, breach will arise, the breach of which gives rise to a claim for damages but not avoid the contract. So warranty does not give a right to avoid the contract, but you can definitely claim for the damage. Many statements are made by the parties, particularly to induce the other party to enter into the agreement. These statements are commonly known as representations, and when these representations are incorporated in the contract of insurance, they become the warranties. In all policies of marine insurance, any statement of fact bearing upon the risk introduced into the policy is considered as warranty. If the condition mentioned in the warranty is not complied, then the insurer is discharged from liability. The sixth important principle of insurance is proximate cause. The principle of proximate cause comes into application when the loss is caused by two or more perils acting in simultaneously or in succession. So the loss may not come out of a direct main one peril. It can actually go down into different actions, and finally the loss may happen. The rule is immediate and not the remote cause is to be regarded as file payment of the loss. So insurance company will focus on the immediate but not on the remote cause, because the immediate cause is insured. If the real cause of the loss is insured, then the insurer is liable to compensate the loss, otherwise the insurance company would not compensate. Proximate cause is defined as the active and efficient cause that sets in motion the chain of events. So the main cause will actually create so many other events. So if the loss is happening because of some other events, then it may, even if that is not insured, then there won't be any liability. However, if the loss is because of the main event, then definitely there would be a liability. And because of this, insurance company becomes very clear as to compensate the loss or not. A fire might cause a person to faint, but the death of the person may be because of heart attack he had while he was taken to the hospital. So these are the subsequent events that happened because or after the fire. Despite the resultant loss being faint because of fainting and weak heart, the fire would be considered as a proximate cause. And if the proximate cause, that is fire, is not insured, then the insurer is not bound to pay any claim. So this establishes the fact as to when the insurance company would be liable, when the insurance company won't be liable to compensate the loss. Now we consider yet another principle, which is contribution. The principle of contribution is very important when you buy more insurance company from more than, when you buy your insurance from more than one insurance company. The principle of contribution implies that if the same property is insured with more than one insurance company, the compensation paid by all the insurers together cannot exceed the actual loss suffered. If the insured were to collect insurance money for the full value from all the insurers, insured would make a profit from the loss, and this is not allowed in case of insurance. This would violate the basic principle of indemnity. Let us understand this with an example. For example, say Mr. Ashwin takes out a fire policy on his house valued at 50 lakhs and he buys insurance from two insurance companies for 25 lakhs each. And suppose he supports a loss of 20 lakhs due to fire, then he'll have two main options. Either he can claim 20 lakhs from one insurer, or he can claim 10 lakhs each, that is 50% of the loss, from both insurers. So based on his choice, he can approach one insurer or he can approach two insurers, and both the insurers will be bound to pay only up to 20 lakhs, not more than that. The choice is with the insured as to which insurance company he approaches. That is very well explained in this principle of contribution. Now, having understood the basic concepts, the principles of insurance, let us understand the different functions, benefits, limitations of insurance also. The main function of insurance is to protect the insured from the loss to his or her asset, to enable the insured to pay small premium towards servicing the insurance policies, to ensure certainty of payment against different types of risk, to share risk with a large number of people who are exposed to risk, to create capital to the company through collection of insurance premium in order to invest it for productive purpose, to eliminate worries and increase efficiencies of people and industries, to enable the insured to acquire loans on sole security of insurance, as well as to boost the economic progress. What can be the characteristics of insurance? Insurance is a cooperative device because a risk pool is formed, people together, the premium collected used for compensation. There's a contract for compensating losses. It helps in risk sharing. It also helps in risk transfer. Premium is charged for the risk insured. Payment is made at certain contingencies insured. Number of persons insured is large. Risk is evaluated before insuring, and premium is fixed on the basis of risk. We can also make classification on certain parameters. We can classify insurance on the basis of business, like life insurance, general insurance, social insurance. We can classify insurance according to the nature of interest affected, like personal property, liability, fidelity. We can also classify insurance according to the nature of event, like fire insurance, marine insurance, and even miscellaneous insurance. Now, we should also know what risks are covered by different types of insurance. Like life insurance always deals with human lives. General or non-life insurance, it includes property insurance, health insurance, liability insurance, as well as fidelity insurance. Social insurance, it provides financial security to the insured, especially from unfortunate events like premature death, unemployment, poor health, job-related disability, as well as old age. What risks are covered by different types of insurance? Personal insurance, property insurance, liability insurance, fidelity insurance. And what do they mean? Personal insurance, nature of interest affected is life, health, and body of an individual. Property insurance, proprietary interest of the person. It can be individual, it can be business. Liability insurance, insured is exposed to some liability against third parties. This can be legislation-based or professional-based. Fidelity insurance, this specifically arises due to dishonesty, disappearance, disloyalty of the employees, especially when they are in employment. Fire insurance, some insured is payable after destruction of damage to the property due to fire. Marine insurance, some insured is payable on happening of a previous event at sea. And miscellaneous insurance, especially social insurance, aviation insurance, industrial insurance, motor vehicle insurance, etc. So these are the different risks that are covered in different types of insurance. Now let us look at the benefits of insurance. Insurance has tremendous benefits for individuals and businesses. The first and important benefit of insurance is it provides peace of mind by eliminating fear and uncertainty. Insurance helps raising a fund to eliminate the uncertainty of loss, the perils. Insurance promotes trade and commerce by encouraging innovation, providing adequate liability insurance, as well as controlling malpractices. Insurance promotes financial stability by indemnifying those who suffer loss or damage to the economic assets. Insurance also complements government security programs by providing indemnity plans for natural disasters, pension funds, as well as life insurance. Insurance plays a vital role in mobilizing savings from the public. Insurance fulfills the needs of the person, both when he's alive and after his death. So friends, insurance is very important from individual point of view, from government point of view, from economic point of view. It helps promotes financial stability by indemnifying the losses suffered in case of an uncertain event. It helps all individuals and businesses to keep their show running in spite of any risk that may create a loss, rather than getting devastated because of the loss that happens due to an uncertain event. However, everything may not be complete. Likewise, insurance also has certain limitations. For example, static risks can be insured, but dynamic risks are not insured. Hence, all the risks cannot be insured. That is one major limitation. Second limitation is contract of insurance becomes void in the absence of insurable interest. Third important limitation is unquantified loss arising from an event are not insurable. So these are the basic limitations of insurance. Some more limitations can be high premium rates are not affordable for certain category of employees, and hence this category may not buy insurance, and because of which insurance penetration might not be deeper. False claims and malpractices hinders the progress of insurance. Some sort of bind, block may emerge into the minds of the prospects on raising questions on the usefulness and efficiency of insurance plans. Insurance business cannot be a source to acquire profits, as its basic objective is to provide security against risk. So this can be limitations of insurance, and with this we have established a very good foundation in the form of concepts, in the form of ideas, in the form of principles. We understood different characteristics, we understood different benefits as well as limitations, and this will help us to take our journey further into this introduction to insurance and risk management. Thank you.